This is Positive Outcomes, a podcast for the OMP community. Thanks again for joining us today. My name is Jeff Newell, your host for this episode. We have a great show lined up. We have Joe Mahone of Click Medical with us to discuss the next generation of wheel-based adjustable solutions. Joe is a certified prosthetist with over 20 years of experience in the field. He's also the inventor of the RevoFit, along with the subsequent heel-based adjustable solutions at Click Medical. Thanks, Joe, for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, so let's get right into it. Let's start at the beginning. Since you recreated RevoFit, what led to the development of the system?
Well, after a couple of years of being in the industry, and I've been in the industry now for 25 years, you know, I kind of started noticing some patterns kind of in the prosthetic process. And then also in terms of, you know, patterns in kind of how I was approaching patient issues and whatnot. You know, I'd deliver a device, you know, everything was fine that day, you know, but maybe the next day or a week after, a month after, you know, things would change. And it was a constant battle to kind of keep people, you know, functional and comfortable. And one day I was, I just had enough. I was, tired of work. I skipped work. I was playing hooky, I guess you could say. And I went skiing and just to kind of clear my head. And while I was in the chairlift, I had a patient call me and she said, "Hey, Joe, you know, I'm going to Washington, D.C. Next week. And I wondered if you could tighten up my socket." And I said, "Yeah, you know, I'm skiing right now, but, you know, I can come off the mountain and I can come and see you, you know, but didn't we just tighten up your socket a couple of weeks ago?" And she said, "Oh, yeah, it was great. You put some pads in there and tightened it up and everything was great. But then, you know, I retained some water and my leg got bigger. So then I ended up ripping the pads out. But now I'm going to DC. I'm going to walk a lot. So I want you to tighten it back up and put the pads back in." I said, All right. Yeah. You know, I'll see you down at the office in a couple hours." And hung up the phone. I was still in the chairlift. I was skiing with my girlfriend at the time and just kind of stewing over like the thought of like, I gotta stop skiing and I'm going to have to go down and see this patient. And, you know, I was thinking to myself, gosh, if, you know, she could only adjust, you know, her own leg, I could keep skiing. So, you know, really super selfish motivation here. but, you know, necessity is the mother of invention, right? So I'm on the chair, I get to the top of the lift. My girlfriend was a snowboarder. I'm a skier. So, you know, snowboarders, you always got to wait for them at the top when they tighten their boots and get everything set. So I'm sitting there waiting for her to get her boots tightened and just kind of stewing over this, you know, fact that I have to stop skiing and go see this patient. And she looked up and said, "Hey, I got these new boots with this dial on it. And they're really cool. I can just crank down this dial and make them really tight. And then when I get back on the chair, I just pop the dial and release the tension. I don't have to worry about, you know, lacing and unlacing. And it's just really easy." And I'm like, you know, whatever, that's cool. And, you know, just kind of was still stewing, kind of stuck in my own, you know, misery. And, you know, she got up and she started to snowboard down the hill and she got about 50 meters or so. And she, as she was snowboarding, she reached down and she tightened up her snowboarding boots again. And it was at that moment that I thought, oh my gosh, you know, what if, you know, I could use this little dial to somehow make a prosthetic adjust. And again, allow me to keep skiing, the main motivation here. And I thought, well, you know, I don't know how I do that. And how do I integrate a dial and, you know, what am I going to adjust and so on and so forth. And just, you know, kind of left it at that and skied down the hill and was still kind of thinking about it and went down, saw my patient. On the way out, I grabbed a razor knife and went back home and girlfriend was there. And I said, "Hey, this is going to sound really crazy, but I know you just got these really great new snowboarding boots. But is it okay if I chop them up and remove the dial and the wires?" She didn't say no. She said, "Hell no, you are not doing this." And I was, you know, I said, I know this is really crazy, but, you know, just I will buy you some new ones, but I just need to see if this is going to work. And so that's what I did. I chopped the dial out and I chopped the guides out and went back down to the office the next day. And I kind of riveted everything onto a socket and I kind of clamshelled the socket a little bit to kind of make it adjust in the AP. Had the patient come back in and she put it on and she started walking and she said, "Oh, you know, I don't know what this is. And this looks crazy." And it was squeaking and making all kinds of noise because everything was moving and rubbing. And I said, "But just reach down and turn it and see what happens." You know, she reached down, she turned it. She took a couple more steps. She reached down, turned it again, walked down to the end of the hall, turned around, reached down, tightened it up a couple more times. And she said, you know what, Joe, I think you're onto something here. And so this is back in 2009. So this is a long time ago. I just quickly filed some IP. And then I started just kind of testing it on different patients and sent some bits and pieces out to some colleagues for them to test. But at the time, I was having to go and buy snowboarding boots from REI when they were on sale and chop them up. And, spending hundreds of dollars to extract these little dials and these little wires. Mm-hmm. And then finally, after talking to BOA dozens of times, you know, they finally allowed me to use some of their products. And I kind of tugged at some heartstrings and, you know, was very persistent, never gave up. And eventually they ended up making me one of their customers. I was their smallest customer by far. You know, I'm in the same league with, I'm dealing with, you know, Nike and FootJoy and Burton and K2 and all these major brands. And then there's Joe, some crazy prosthetist from Utah that's using these things on prosthetics. But that's kind of how it all started. And it's just kind of snowballed from there.
Well, that's exciting. It really is to see what you're able to accomplish. You know, when you look back, you know, how do we adjust volume? We adjust volume by adding pads, add a sock. And, you know, there you are with a state-of-the-art socket, state-of-the-art componentry, and we're adding pads. It doesn't make sense. And, right. and never mind making sense, just the cumbersomeness of the patient having to do that, having to stop what they're doing, having to pull out the pad, having to put in a pad. So, yeah. You know, it's a real cool system. And there's right now, before we'll get into it in a bit, but there's some real exciting things happening at Click Medical, which I'm sure you'll share with us as we go here. But when you look at this, and you've been seeing this since, as you said, 2009, what's the most inventive use you've seen for the RevoFit?
Oh, boy. The most inventive use. You know, I'm just a prosthetist. I'm not an orthotist. And so, you know, I think there's a few things on the orthotic side that, you know, that really I thought was pretty inventive, pretty groundbreaking. You know, on seeing the FabTech, the PDE, the IDEO braces, kind of those dynamic orthotic braces, kind of gravitating away from Velcro straps or traditional straps and moving into RevoFit, into a dial-based system to suspend the brace, to tighten the brace, to micro-adjust the brace. I think that's one of the uses that I didn't really foresee, when I first started. Other orthotic devices as well, they're using them for, you know, contractor management, dorsiflexion control for different types of AFO devices, using it for, you know, stroke patients that simply, you know, can't operate a strap well or can't, you know, don't have the hand strength to tighten a leather gauntlet AFO or tighten a thigh lacer or something, you know, to seeing these kind of other more obscure use cases has been really interesting and really educational for us. So, you know, we provide a system, we provide education, and then we're constantly adding to the education in terms of, you know, where can we use this and what are some good applications and what are the best applications? So that's kind of an ongoing process. Some of the other, you know, inventive uses that I've seen, you know, early post-op fittings, you know, being able to kind of clamshell a device or make a drop back type of device where you can get, you know, sockets on, you know, 2 to 3 weeks sooner than they normally would be put on simply because of the shape of the distal end. So that's been great to see that and get people up and moving faster, getting their rehab process started faster. You know, that's been great. Seeing congenital, you know, use for congenital devices, you know, trying to get a, you know, PFFD, trying to get a foot through a small narrow spot. You know, we have the ability to open and expand and make clamshells and sliding, you know, joints and things like that, that you just simply can't do with, you know, traditional kind of methodology or straps. Mm-hmm. So seeing those kind of interesting, you know, one-off type of uses has been great. And it's been really fun to promote those as well so that other people, you know, this is another tool in the quiver, right? Mm-hmm. And we're just trying to give people more options there, more tools to have better success with their patients.
And that's exactly what I do when I'm talking about Click Medical devices, is that it is another tool that you can pull out and use where we didn't have this before. You know, it was very primitive before. Yeah. Okay, what did you set out to accomplish differently in the conception of the new generation real systems?
Well,
Like before you start, I know you're a company that really listens. You really listen to your patients. You really listen to the practitioners out there. And yeah. I know you're always talking to me about, well, I heard this, I heard that. We need to change this. We need to do something here. You don't just blow it off. You really take it in and try to do something with it. So,
yeah, I mean, you know, I'm a good listener, and, you know, I'm from a big family of talkers. And so I was basically forced to listen to everyone else talk. And, you know, listening, as I learned later in life, is a skill that, you know, not many people have. People love talking. They don't necessarily love to listen. But I thought it was really important to listen as a business owner, as a practitioner, you know, as a kind of an innovator. Listen to our customers, listen to the distributors, listen to the users, you know, and make some changes that way. You know, we didn't want to just like, you know, have a product and then let's find a place to put it. Let's you know, solve some problems. Let's create a product, that can solve various problems. And, you know, and we did that. You know, the current product that we have was kind of set out for soft goods, you know, sporting goods, snowboarding boots, motorcycle boots, gloves, helmets, things like that. You know, they were, these dials originally were, you know, built to be used 20, 30, 40 times a year, you know, maybe you're snowboarding 30 times a year. That's a lot. Mm-hmm. You know, some of these things are maybe 10 times a year. So we set out to build something that was, you know, purpose built for medical, something that's much stronger, you know, something that's got metal parts. So we've got, you know, the new system, the new click reel has a metal spool, you know, it's got metal gears, you know, to last, you know, the life of the device. You know, we needed to make something that could withstand, you know, 20 adjustments per day, you know, 365 days a year for 3 to 5 years. You know, the current products just don't last that long. So we really wanted to make something that could stand the test of time. And that was purpose built for medical, something that was purpose built for going on a rigid, you know, carbon fiber device, whether it's an orthotic or a prosthetic, you know, putting some of those smaller dials on some of those rigid devices. They just can't withstand the force, and they just, you know, simply explode over time. So we wanted to do that. We, you know, there's some other things that we, you know, people kept coming to us and say, hey, we want something that can lace it up a little bit faster. And we said, okay, that's great. And then other people said, well, we want something that can be stronger, you know, and it's like, huh, all right, well, we want something that can take up lace fast, but then we want something that's strong. Those are kind of contradictory, right? So we designed a lace, we designed a reel that has a shifting mechanism in it. And so it's got, it starts off in a 1-to-1 ratio. So really fast lace uptake. And then as soon as it feels a certain amount of tension, it shifts from 1-to-1 into our power mode, which is 7-to-1, which creates a ton of power, a ton of force, which is required to move these carbon fiber devices, these carbon fiber braces and plastic prosthetic devices and things like that. So, you know, having this shifting mechanism, we think is going to be great for people. You know, if they have to fully open something up to don it, now they can quickly close it, and then they have the power to really tighten it down. Other people asked for some safety features. You know, some people were concerned about, you know, their user not having great feeling or neuropathy and maybe over-tightening. And so we decided to put a clutch in the new reel. So there's a clutch in there. It can be pinned out so you can, you know, you can tighten it up so there's no clutch, or you can back off the clutch so you can, you know, get to 50% capacity lace tension or 25% lace tension. Maybe you're progressing someone through, you know, a new device, and you want them to start off at a certain level and they can work their way up to a high tension later. So we put a clutch in there. And one of the most important things I think that we've addressed is the ability to micro adjust both forwards and backwards. The current system, the current, you know, dials, you can micro adjust forwards, but to go backwards or to loosen it up, you have to pop the dial up, you have to pull it out, and then it just backspools. And so there's no way to micro adjust in the backwards, you know, in the loosening direction. So we wanted to make a dial that went both micro adjust forwards, but they can also micro adjust backwards so that people don't have to pop the dial and start all over. They don't have to, you know, sometimes popping the dial under high tension can be quite difficult to pull out. We wanted to eliminate some of those headaches and some of those frustrations in terms of, you know, how many clicks was it that I liked? Were like 4 clicks or like 20 clicks, you know, and having the ability just to go, you know, 1 click at a time forwards or backwards has been probably the biggest things in terms of, you know, our testers, the feedback from our testers. That's probably the biggest change besides the lower build height is the ability to go forwards and backwards.
Well, it really sounds like you hit all the the little drawbacks because it was a great system in the past. But again, what did you do? You listened and addressed these, and it really sounds like you've got on top of them.
Yeah.
What are some of the challenges that you faced in the development of this new system?
Well, I think anyone in the R&D space would agree that trying to develop a product in a foreign country during a pandemic is a challenge for everybody. You know, supply chain issues, you know, factories shutting down for months at a time with zero control over that. It really kind of limited the ability to get this out on time, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. So we were about 6 months to a year behind. Took us a little bit longer than we thought. That allowed us to think about it some more and kind of fine tune it, though. So there's been some good and bad over that time frame. In terms of the reel itself, some of the challenges have been fitting everything that we want into such a small package. You know, we kind of have like this Swiss Army knife of dials that's coming out, right? It's got these great new functions. It's got a lower profile, have more lace uptake, you know, forwards and backwards, clutch, all these things. Doing all of that work and having it in a small, teeny package proved to be really difficult, really, really difficult. We succeeded. We were able to lower the build height of the dial by about a third. So that was great. Even some of our testers have said, oh my gosh, this might be too low. You know, it's you know, I have to be able to grab it and move it, you know. So lowering build height, we think, is going to be great for people in terms of, you know, acceptance, in terms of, you know, noticeability and visibility. And hiding, kind of concealing the dial. So we're really excited about that. But yeah, creating something during this time, this pandemic time, has been super challenging. Not being able to go to, you know, to China and be with them during these pre-production runs to QC has been really challenging, because, you know, they'll make something and they'll ship it and then we'll test it and then we got to ship it back and then they make modifications, and just the back and forth has just been very time consuming. So we appreciate everyone's patience in terms of rolling this out and the delays that we've, you know, incurred over the year. Thank you for being patient and for sticking with us. But we think you're going to be really happy when you get these come October.
Yeah, it's going to be well worth the wait for sure.
Yeah.
The most unique development of the next generation reel system is the Revo Surface. Can you elaborate a bit on that?
Yeah, the Revo Surface is pretty cool. It's kind of a toolkit. And actually, that's what we call it, is the Revo Surface toolkit. You know, back kind of in the early days, there was a kit that was out of TRS, and we also sold it as well at Click. But it was a toolbox of sorts. You know, it had a couple different dials and a bunch of different guides and a bunch of stuff. It was great. You know, people loved it, but there was no real direction behind it. There was no use case, or, you know, what do you do with this stuff? So we kind of went back to the drawing board and said, okay, here's, you know, 10 great uses for this product. And this is how you lay it out. And this is how you do the lace schematics. This is how you design it. This is how you fabricate it. This new kit is all surface based. So it could go on an existing device. You don't necessarily have to make a brand new device to integrate the new Revo Surface. It can go existing. It mounts on the surface. So it can be on a plastic device. It could be on a carbon device. It could be on a leather gauntlet. It could be on an orthotic brace. You know, it can be used in a variety of different places. It's all surface mounted, so everything can be mounted from the outside, or you can even mount stuff from the inside, depending on the configuration and what you want. The new kit comes with a new reel, but it has a surface collar. It's got fixed guides that are a little different than the guides that we have now. And then it also has releasing guides. So the guides themselves can be oriented in the fixed position or in the releasing position, depending on how you orient them. And so when you're talking about releasing guides, we also have a little pull tab that we include with the kit. And this allows you to fully open something. So for example, maybe you've got a leather gauntlet, you know, AFO that needs to be fully opened. You could put releasing guides on one side and fixed guides on the other. And the releasing side, you can pull the tabs fully open and you know, put your foot in and then close it down and tighten it up. So we're really excited for this kit. We think that, you know, it can be, it's going to be used on both orthotic and prosthetic devices. You know, it's a great kind of tool to use when you're prototyping stuff, when you're doing maybe, you know, temporaries, or you're trying out a new design. You want to try something, you know, in that preparatory phase or the check socket phase.
Is this going to take the place of the check socket Revo Fit that we've had in the past?
This will take the place of our QuickFit Lacer. system. And this will also take the place of some of the straps, because you can orient this Revo surface in kind of different strap configurations without actually having to have webbing. So we can use it like a strap. It will not replace, some people will replace we still have the RevoFit diagnostic kit. We'll still sell that so that people can wrap it with fiberglass casting tape and secure it to something plastic. That's still an option, but we think people will gravitate towards this Revo surface maybe for those applications. You can still wrap, you could still use tubing and wrap it with fiberglass, but this is all exposed. So the lace is exposed, the guides are exposed, the surface collar, everything's exposed, and everything's riveted or can be attached from the outside or from the inside. So we'll still have a place for that diagnostic kit that's still going to be available, but we think this Revo surface will kind of take over some of those applications. And really be used kind of in the interim design phase, just to kind of check something out before you go to a laminated or a finished device. Gives you an opportunity just to kind of test drive it, make sure you're in the right spot, make sure you're adjusting in the right spot or moving the device in the right fashion before you go ahead and commit to doing something, that's laminated or a finished type of product.
Sure. Well, I think it'll be ideal for that application as well, and easier too for the practitioner to adjust and change without having to undo carbon or fiberglass tape and what have you in place. Right. I think it'll be easier and much neater. Okay. So what do you want to see in the future as far as accomplishments with regards to the Real Base system?
Well, what do we want to see? We first need to prove this new dial out. So we need to get in the market. We need to listen. We need to get some feedback before we obviously make any kind of improvements to it. We've gotten some beta testers on it now that are giving us feedback. And so we're able to kind of fine tune these little last minute little details before we go to full production. Mm-hmm. So that's been kind of helpful. But in terms of the current dial, we're going to get it out there. We're going to use it and we're going to get some feedback. Future iterations, I'd like to see something maybe smaller, even smaller than what we have. Not just lower in profile, which is what we did, but smaller in the XY dimension, in the diameter of the device, of the reel itself. I like to kind of shrink everything. Like I said before, this is kind of a Swiss Army knife of sorts in terms of dials. It does so much that it's in a big package right now, or a larger package in terms of dials. I like to shrink that down to something that's smaller. Smaller is not always better. When we early on, we did some kind of outreach to users and clinicians, and some people said, the diameter of the dial or the size of the dial is fine. In some cases, it might be even too small. It depends on how big your hands are. For some people that have huge hands, having a really small dial is really difficult to operate. So, we'd like to have a product line that has, the current system, the current dial, and then in the future, maybe have a smaller version of that. Something that has maybe less lace uptake, but it can't hold as much lace. But still has the same kind of function and same kind of features. We would love to, in terms of adjustability, we'd love to see a code. We're working towards it. We're collecting data. We're talking to people. We'd love to see some coding that happens in terms of adjustability. There's other players now in this space. We've got Autobox got their Vero socket, the Oser TF Connect. There's others playing in the space. I'd love to get our minds together and, work on a coding strategy that benefits all of us, not just Click Medical, but all the people that are using adjustability. I think that's one of our next big hurdles. It's something that we're working on now, but we're reaching out to people and we're accepting any support that people can offer. In terms of the future, 5, 10 years, people keep talking about motorization and motorized adjustability. We're working on that as well. I've already made motorized sockets and put them on patients, little teeny motors, and, getting some feedback from that. Interesting, but there's some big hurdles there in terms of motorization. You're talking about FDA approval. You've got batteries, you've got motors, you've got apps, you've got all kinds of stuff going on here that that needs to be addressed. So, and the users that we put with motorized sockets, they said, I don't want to have to open up my phone every time I adjust my leg. I just want to reach down and tighten it when I need to do it or loosen it. I don't want to have to carry my phone around. I don't have to worry about my phone. I don't want my leg to be tied to my app that's on my phone. So, I mean, some good feedback already in terms of, you know, motorizing this kind of system. You know, we think that eventually it may get there. Will it be for everybody? You know, I don't think so, you know, but that's more of a 10-year outlook, Jeff, in terms of, you know, where I see this going.
Very exciting times at Click Medical for sure.
Yeah.
And with that, I'd like to thank you guys for joining us today and listening in on this episode. I'd also like to give a big thank you to Joe at Click Medical. Always a pleasure talking with you, Joe.
Yeah, thank you.
Of course, if you have a show or a topic for future episodes, you can email us at positiveoutcomes@ortoped.ca. New episodes are released every other Thursday at positiveoutcomes.ca, wherever you get your podcasts. Positive Outcomes is a production of Ortoped ULC in conjunction with our partners, produced by Jonathan Stone and Frederick Sove, and hosted by myself, Jeff Newell, and Simon Beals. Thanks again for listening, and until next time, take care.
Thank you.